Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Jet Press Podcast. My name is Justin Fried, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, my buddy, Mike Luciano. Mike, we are officially in the dog days of May. How are you feeling today, buddy? What's going on?
Well, I got some good news from Jets OTA, so that's, you know, a little pep in my step. We got a pretty good show for you, considering the time and everything. I'm not going to lie. I think we're going to do pretty okay. We got a whole Jets draft coming up, so... Yep. Well, it'll be either 5 or 10. We'll figure it out depending on a bunch of different things, but we think that would be pretty good for you. We're going to go check out what's going on with OTAs. And we got a new signing because Joe Douglas at the 11th hour trying to get us some more running back depth. He's going to build the whole plane out of running backs. Although this guy's more like an all-purpose guy, but he's nominally a running back.
He's getting us content, and I appreciate that because I was like, a few hours before the show, I'm like, man, what are we going to talk about? And then the Jets signed Tariq Cohen, and I'm like, hey, we got something to talk about.
It was a slow week over on the Baltimore site, and then all of a sudden, they're interested in Jamal Adams. I said, oh, hey now, okay.
Ooh, that's, I mean, something.
He'd be an okay. Honestly, that'd be an okay spot for him if he was going to sign. But regardless, because we don't want the chat to get flooded with, oh, Jamal Adams, I don't want to relitigate my Jamal Adams opinions for the last however many years I've held them. So let's just get right into the show. After the housekeeping, as always, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We are on all those sites, and we're on YouTube at the Jet Press. That's where you can subscribe. That helps the stream a lot. Liking the stream, giving a little thumbs up right there, that really helps out. Mm-hmm. Those are all ways you can support the show. And 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, those really help because it'll bump us up the charts. So before we get into the draft and OTAs, we have some more transaction news, and it is Tariq Cohen.
Yeah.
Who a lot of you might remember that name. Tariq Cohen is just a vague, fleeting memory. He's like, I remember some guy with the Bears. He was like 5'2" and 130 pounds, and he was playing in the NFL. Yeah. He was kind of a very unique player because the Bears picked him in the fourth round of the 2017 draft. This was prime Matt Nagy, Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah,
where they were actually pretty good. I think Trubisky was like at a winning record with the Bears.
Prime Mitch Trubisky is just a funny statement. I know what you mean, but it's just a funny statement.
Was it the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl? The Bears almost beat him in the playoffs.
Yeah. Was that the Cody Parkey double doink?
Was that that year or was that the year after?
I don't know. I know those against the Eagles. I forget if the Eagles won. Was Foles starting in that game?
He was, but again, Wentz got hurt at the end of the year, and then Foles did another run, and then I think the Saints beat him. Because that was the year where they had the huge pass interference at Bengals.
Yes. That was 2018 was the double doink.
That's what it was. But that was one of Tariq Cohen's biggest moments in the sun. Great return guy. Really great receiver. He had 71 and 79 catches in back-to-back seasons. And then 2020 happened. He's only limited to 3 games because he tore his ACL. And after then, it's just been injury after injury after injury. And a couple years down the line, now he is a running back who already is an older running back. So no matter what happens to you, you're going to have some degree of scrutiny on you. He's got more injury than you could count. It was like to bring up the late Bill Walton. It was like Bill Walton with the Clippers where he basically missed 3 years in a row because of injuries.
RIP Bill Walton.
RIP Bill Walton. Great guy, great player. But getting back to Tariq Cohen, who's going to take a chance on Tariq Cohen? Well, the Jets did. And there's a legitimate chance that I think he could end up making the final roster, not as a running back. I feel like that ship's kind of sailed. He was never a particularly great runner anyway. I mean, he was in college at North Carolina A&T, great HBCU player, but you know, 5'6", 181, you just can't be an every down back unless you have unprecedented Darren Sproles speed. And even then, Darren Sproles was like the one guy, and he was never really a 300 carry a year guy. So your options to running the ball are limited if you're Tariq Cohen. But and even as like a third back who could be a pass catcher, I feel like the Jets would want to use one of their younger guys in that role. So it's going to be entirely on the kick return duty. And Xavier Gibson had that great return in week one. Other than that, he had a couple muffs. It wasn't like an amazing returner after that. Israel Abanikanda was not impressive, but he had a couple opportunities. I believe he fumbled the first play of the game against the Bills. Was that Abanikanda?
I don't know if it was against the Bills. I know he had two return attempts last year, and he fumbled one of them. So
50% fumble, right? Not very good. That's where Cohen could shine, because I'm assuming that now that the Jets have signed him, they got enough medical clearance that they think he's not just going to disintegrate into dust. Right. Like Dracula when you show him the sun and he just falls apart. I assume that's not going to happen. And I assume they have some sort of confidence that his speed is still there and his elusiveness is still there. I mean, this guy got nicknamed the human joystick.
Yep.
I've heard that a couple of times. I remember Dante Hall with the Chiefs got that nickname, but it kind of gets passed around a lot. But if you saw Tariq Cohen with the Bears, I mean, he was worthy of that nickname. So if you get a guy like that who could be a valuable returner, especially nowadays with the new kick return rules, because Robert Saleh even said he thinks there's probably going to be 100 kick returns this year. Last year, the Patriots had 31, and that led the league. I think there's a spot for Cohen on this team.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
This summer, saddle up with the only sportsbook where you can bet on horse racing, FanDuel. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $500. Just download the app or go to FanDuel.com/horses to score your no-sweat bet up to $500. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Offer valid on first real money wager of $5 or more. Verified FD racing account required. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable racing site credit that expires 7 days after issuance. Max refund $500. Restrictions apply. See terms at racing.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'd like to hope so, man. You know, first, like, my first reaction when I saw the Jets signed him, like, because I'll talk about his fit in a second and talk about what role he can have. I'm so happy for Tariq Cohen, the human being. Like, that was my first reaction. Because
it's just a triumph for the human spirit, honestly.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's a story of resilience and just unthinkable tragedy that this poor man has had to deal with. Because, you know, even aside from the football stuff, there's an incredible article that came out 2 years ago from the Players Tribune. I shouted this out on Twitter. I was mentioning it to you before we started recording, where, you know, Players Tribune did do incredible work. And it was Tariq Cohen basically penned a letter to his 17-year-old self. I highly recommend anybody who has not read this before, seek it out. Like, I promise you it is worth your time.
We'll link it in chat if you haven't read it.
Yes, please do. 2 years ago when I read this, it came out in May 2022. 2 years ago when I read this, I cried reading it. Like, I teared up reading it. I read it again today after the Jets signed him just to kind of relive that again. And I teared up again because it is just a remarkable story of just tragedy after tragedy. And I, you know, you feel for Tariq Cohen, the human being. So it's amazing that he's getting this opportunity. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, come September of this year, it'll be 4 years since he last stepped foot in an NFL field for a regular season game. He got hurt. He tore his ACL September 2020. He also, I don't think he had a significant history of injuries before that ACL injury that happened September 2020. Unfortunately, you know, you hear ACL, you think, oh, you know, Breece Hall came back in, you know, 8, 9 months, 10 months, whatever it was. And he was amazing. Like, guys recover from that all the time. It's not the same for everybody. And Tariq Cohen, he tore his MCL as well. And he messed up his knee really bad to the point where he has not played in a game since that day. The Bears kept him around on the roster for like a year and a half while he rehabbed. They ended up releasing him while he was attempting to return to the field. And so, mind you, again, this article, that Players Tribune article, that came out in May 2022, a week after it was published, he tore his Achilles. And that's not even included in the article because it was already published. A week after that article was published, he was live streaming one of his, you know, just a workout session showing he's trying to rehab. And he tears his Achilles. It's just devastating. It is absolutely devastating. And that's just the on-field stuff. I won't even get into the off-field stuff, the unthinkable loss that he's had to deal with. It is all detailed in that article. Again, I highly recommend reading it. But yeah, that was my first reaction when I saw that, because I was not only happy that he was getting another opportunity, but I was happy he was on the Jets, because, you know, last year he actually was in the NFL. He signed with the Carolina Panthers in, I think, September of last year on their practice squad. And that was, you know, remarkable in its own right, because, again, he hadn't been on an NFL team since the Bears had released him. I think in 2022 they officially released him. But again, he hadn't played since 2020. So it was amazing that he was even able to come back, and he was with the Panthers last year. I think he like tweaked his hamstring or whatever. He never ended up playing again. He was on the practice squad. But then they released him this year. I think they released him because they like signed him like a futures contract. And once they released him, I'm like, I guess that might be it for him. Like, that was it. You know, he tried to complete the comeback. And it sort of worked because he was signed, but he never stepped back on the field. So I'm so happy for Tariq Cohen, the human being, and as well as the athlete, that he gets a chance again to make that comeback, to complete what I would think would be one of the best comebacks in NFL history. Because I can't.
He basically hasn't played significant action since pre-COVID.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, like he.
It sounds like this guy. This guy's 28. I know it sounds like he's ancient. He's only 28 years old.
He's only 28. It's crazy. I was trying to look this up beforehand. I could, and maybe it's happened. If somebody in chat knows of an example, please shout it out. I couldn't find another example of a player who missed 3 years in a row, three consecutive years due to injury, and then came back. It's probably happened. I couldn't find an example of it. Like, I've seen guys miss time for suspension or playing in other leagues. Like, that's
no matter retirement or something.
No matter retirement, like, that happens. But in the NFL, because the NFL is a very, it's just short career span, right? 3 years is an eternity in the NFL. Hell, Tariq Cohen basically played 3 years in the NFL and then got hurt. He's now doubled that time. Like, he's now spent that same duration injured, right? So it would be one of the most remarkable stories probably in NFL history in terms of comeback attempts. If he were to return to the field and actually make the Jets roster and even play a snap, it would be remarkable. And like you said, Mike, I think there's a path to it. You know, it's a flyer. Like, you're just taking a flyer on a guy who at one point was one of the most electric and dynamic players in the NFL. I don't think he's going to have much of a role on offense. I'm not sure what value he provides there other than just being a pass catching back at this stage. But hell, man, look, if he can beat out Gibson for the return job, if he can, you know, he'll be competing with Izzy Abanikanda for that role too. And if he can impress, sure, man, I would be over the moon if this man made the roster. Like, I've been rooting so hard for him, and so many others have as well who followed his story over the last few years. And I just, you know, I wish him all the best, and I want him to make the team. And if he does, I will, without a doubt, I'll make the promise right now. If Tariq Cohen makes the Jets roster, I am getting a Tariq Cohen Jets jersey. Cause man, I have been rooting for this dude for so long, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy he's getting another opportunity. Again, shout out that article at the Players Tribune. It's an incredible story. I will be rooting for Tariq Cohen. I'm hoping he makes a team. I really want to see it happen.
I mean, he's got a shot. He's got a shot, and that's all he can ask for at this point.
Exactly.
Because nobody else was honestly giving him a shot, and that's not like in a Tariq Cohen is bad kind of way. It's just such a long shot.
Yeah.
That so many teams are unwilling to even entertain this, but I'm glad that the Jets actually are. As Josh says in chat, love that dude. I mean, yep. He's a good dude, man.
He is.
Let's move on to just talk about some OTA stuff, because that is what is happening right now in Jets dumb. A couple different things that, you know, we could really focus on. I'm going to go back to Old Reliable, because he's a guy we've talked about a lot recently. And a lot more bad than good, and he was one of the bigger problems today at OTAs, and that was Alan Lazard. Aaron Rodgers was 11 of 17 today. Pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
Jets OTAs.
I love OTA stat keeping. It's so fun. Like,
remember every year when it was like the Hackenberg petty years, you track all the who was completing how many? And
it would be you're tracking completions. With Rodgers, you're tracking incompletions. With them, it was just tracking completions.
And then Hackenberg would be like 4 of 11, and Bryce Petty was 6 of 12. And you're like, oh, I think Petty had a better day today.
Right.
It didn't matter. Or I remember the year before they got Darnold, it was Josh McCown.
Yep.
I think, was Petty still there that year in 2017?
2017, yeah, Petty was still there in 2017.
Jeez.
The primary backup in 2017, right? Who else would it have been? I think it must have been Petty.
Because McCown was the starter. Got to look this up. I remember that was the year they were supposed to – some people thought they go 0-16 that year. Yeah, it was Petty.
Yeah.
Well, so McCown was three good. Games, lost all of them through one touchdown.
Yep.
That was
sounds about right.
Oh God, the Jets. You gotta yeah. love them.
Speaking of players performing, Alan Lazard.
Yeah, it's the guy who was not for was Lazard, because Rodgers went 10 of 12 throwing to not Alan Lazard and 1 of 5 throwing to Lazard. And
he had more incompletions to Lazard than he had incompletions combined with the rest of the team.
Twice as many, 4 to 2.
Yes.
And one of them was a drop. One of them was kind of a 50-50 ball that two of them were drops.
Yeah.
And one of them was a 50-50 ball that DJ Reed won, which DJ Reed's great, but DJ Reed's 5'9", Alan Lazard is 6'4 and a half, 6'5". You got to catch that ball, Alan Lazard.
There was another 50-50 ball against Quantes Stiggers as well in the end zone. So.
And Stiggers won it? Yep. Okay. This is horrendous. So,
so that's
as bad of a session for one receiver, and they're trying to get him going. They're throwing to him a lot.
It was one-on-one with Stiggers in the end zone, and he just couldn't come down with it. And yeah, so that's two drops and then two 50-50 balls that he couldn't catch.
Now, part of why he was there, we've mentioned before that Lazard and Malachi Corley are going to be competing with for wide receiver 3 snaps. Corley, I believe, did not practice in that session.
He got hurt in practice. He didn't come back. It doesn't seem serious. He was limping, but he got hurt early on.
Messed up his ankle. He's out for a couple weeks, whatever. Now,
yeah, whatever it is.
Now, so that means – so we really can't tell if Lazard was there because he's wide receiver 3 or if he was in for Corley. That information is unclear. But if this was his audition for wide receiver 3, boy, did he stink up the joint.
Yep.
And by virtue of doing nothing, it seems Malachi Corley has already gained an upper hand over Lazard, which is really disheartening. He's got to be in his head. Part of it, too, at this point, it's got to be in his head, too.
Yeah. Because he's got Rodgers back now. Like, he has Rodgers.
So he's got no excuse.
Yeah.
Because he could always lean on Wilson. But now you got nothing, Alan.
Yeah, no, he's really struggling. I've been expecting a better season from Alan Lazard. And I still do expect it. Like, I'm not going to overreact to one or two bad OTA practices. Who cares? Like, that's as much as we're going to sit here and talk about it now because it's May and there's not a ton of else, to talk about. It's not going to matter come September what Alan Lazard did on May 29th in OTA practice. Like, that's not going to matter. But he definitely is a situation where, like, he needs to pick it up because it's not like he's guaranteed anything. Last year, he was guaranteed a starting job. Like, he could have been dog shit. Like, he could have been awful throughout the entire spring, throughout the summer, and he would have still had a starting job. That's not the case this year. Like, he needs to earn his spot. In fact, he might not even be the favorite to be wide receiver 3 already. Like, it might already be Malachi Corley. So he needs to be better, obviously. Hopefully he can be, but definitely an inauspicious start for a player that a lot of Jets fans have kind of already mentally moved on from, which, fair, you can't blame them. He was awful last year. But I'm hoping, still hoping, crossing fingers that I think he should be better because he can't be worse, right? Surely he can't be worse.
Apparently he can.
God, man.
Considering this, if this is what he's putting on display in practice.
I mean, he was all right in Green Bay. Like, I was not a fan of the signing, as we've talked about in the show. I was not a fan of it, but nobody could have expected him to be as bad as he was last year. Again, it felt like a Corey Davis situation where it's like, all right, look, like, he's clearly not meant for the role that he's in, but he's better than what he put on tape last year. And I think Corey Davis in his second year with the Jets was finally better. Like, he was genuinely
a
pretty
solid. The problem, though, with that analogy is Corey Davis got brought in to be a number one receiver after being a number two receiver in Tennessee all those years, and then he found out he's not a number one wide receiver.
This is true.
Now, he had horrible quarterbacks, but he also was not a number one wide receiver. Like, that wasn't what they did with Lazard. He was never the number one guy.
Yeah.
In fact, he was a number two guy in Green Bay a lot of the time. And he just couldn't be a number two in New York. Now he can't even be a 3.
And it's also like the issues he's having here are the same issues he had in Green Bay. Like, it's not like they're out of nowhere. Like, he's always had drop issues. He's always had issues with concentration drops. And also, despite the fact that he's, like, gained a reputation as, like, a big-bodied red zone threat, he's always struggled in contested catch situations. Like, he drops a lot of those. So we'll see, man. We'll see. I still think he'll be better, but definitely not an ideal start to the spring for Alan Lazard.
There's also the age-old question whenever you see OTA plays being made, and especially on the defensive side, like, if the defense starts really balling, then the question is always, well, is the defense really good or is our offense just terrible?
Yep, that's always the question.
And for the last couple of years, I think it was pretty obvious Jets defense is really good and the offense couldn't do anything. This year, I think it's a little different.
That's the question. I'm gonna segue. You might have been about to do a segue, but I'm gonna steal it.
Fine. I had my thunder right here.
You got the segue. You got it. No, you got it.
Post snatcher.
You got it. Because I saw an opportunity. I'm like, wait, he might be doing
something. All good.
You got it.
So what we were going to talk about.
Just ruined the flow. You're welcome.
Is the defensive line making some plays, specifically yes. Two younger guys, Will McDonald and Eric Watts. We'll get to McDonald first because McDonald's probably going to have a role with this team. Eric Watts, we don't even know if he's going to make the team. But
hey,
McDonald going up against Carter Warren, and neither of them had dream rookie seasons. You know, Warren got to play a little bit and was just overmatched, I think, physically. But fourth-round rookie, like, it's understandable. McDonald actually, I thought, looked okay when he played. He just never had an avenue to play because of all the depth, and we don't want to relitigate all the Bryce Huff and everything that happened there. But McDonald's supposed to play a bigger role this year, and he's going up against Carter Warren, and supposedly he was just wrecking him, which you want to see that out of Will McDonald because he's going to be 26 pretty soon. He's
2 years younger than Tariq Cohen.
He's always been like an okay run defender for his size, but that's never really been his calling card. It's getting to the quarterback. And even if he's never going to be a star, like a Hassan Reddick, every down, defend the run, star guy, like, you at least want to see situational pass rush stuff where you can get like 8-9 sacks. Like the comparison, I don't think he's exactly, this is like a like for like, because the guy I'm about to compare him to was A, a lot better, and B, I think a little just quicker, a little slimmer and quicker. But if he become like an Elvis Dumervil, where he comes on the field, and you know Elvis Dumervil was not going to stop the run, but he was so great at getting to the quarterback that he carved out a very long career, some Pro Bowls. If that's what they want out of him, this is at least a good start, because you can only beat who you're playing against. And supposedly Carter Warren right now does not look like he's in the same tier with Will McDonald.
You know who I think they want him to be, Mike? They want Will McDonald to be Bryce Huff. I mean, I know they had Bryce Huff, but they want Will McDonald to be Bryce Huff. And look, I'm not going to sit here and be like, he has to be Bryce Huff, because that's an incredibly high bar to set. Bryce Huff is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, like one of the best pure pass rushers. I'm not going to stop saying that because he's not on the Jets anymore. It's still true. Expecting Will McDonald to be that, especially in just his second season, is expecting a lot. But if he can take strides to being that, that's going to be really big. I feel like I've been labeled as like a Will McDonald hater just because I've hated it. I didn't like the pick at the time, and I very much have been critical of it, especially because of the handling of the Bryce Huff situation. But I still believe he could be really good, especially learning under Robert Saleh. I think he's one of the biggest X factors with this entire team this year. Obviously, guy like Aaron Rodgers, that's probably the biggest X factor. You could point to other ones like Tyron Smith staying healthy, whatever. I think Will McDonald taking that next step is going to be massive for this Jets defense if he can do that, because I think the defensive line got worse on paper. They lost Bryce Huff. They lost John Franklin Myers. I know they brought in Hassan Reddick, but especially JFM, they don't have anybody in the roster that can replace him. Michael Cummins is not going to do that. So Will McDonald taking that next step and becoming I'm not going to say a perennial double-digit sack guy, but at least – you know, showing life that he can be a very good pass rusher when given an opportunity, because he didn't play a ton last year. He was fine. Like, he was decently efficient in the snaps that he had. If he can maintain that same efficiency or even maybe improve it with a much larger sample size, you're cooking. Like, that's good. And that's what you want to see from Will McDonald. That's the progression you want to see, especially for a guy who's older. Like, he's only in his second year, but like you said, he's already 25, Mike. So he kind of needs to take that next step. I do think that it's definitely not encouraging, because Carter Warren, I'm pretty sure, was also when Eric Watts had a really good practice last week, I believe it was the first open media session. Watts was cooking, and a lot of time he was going up against Carter Warren as well. Warren is out there running with the first team because Morgan Moses is off to the sideline. He's still recovering from the pectoral surgery that he had in the offseason, so he's not back yet. He's fine. I think he'll be ready for training camp. I don't think there's a concern there. But for now, Carter Warren is running with the first team. So, you know, look, it's OTAs. There's not even pads on. There's really not much to take away from offensive line versus defensive line. Although I will say, I'm pretty sure it's normal for defensive linemen to win those battles, because you don't really have the pads on the D linemen that can move a lot quicker. And that is notable, because when Tyron Smith was going against Will McDonald today, he absolutely stonewalled him. So Tyron Smith is at least still Tyron Smith. And it's also cool to see him practicing. Like, he's not off to the side injured or anything like that. He is fully practicing. No injury concerns there, at least right now. So Tyron Smith's still Tyron Smith. If Will McDonald is still absolutely toasting Carter Warren come July, when training camp starts, then I will have concerns about. Well, I won't even have concerns because
he's not going to start.
Carter Warren is the fourth tackle on the depth chart. Yeah. Whatever. And yeah, I mean that'll be good because that'll mean that Will McDonald is the arrow's pointing up. So shout out Eric Watts though, because I mean we didn't get to talk about him much there, but I really think there's a good chance he makes the roster. He was my guy. I think I was talking about him right after the draft. Whenever we got to talk about the UDFAs,
and Leonard Taylor, I'm surprised they didn't get drafted. Leonard Taylor, I think, owns the top 100 guys.
And Braden McGregor too. Like those three, all three of them, all three defensive linemen, all three of them have a legitimate chance to make the 53-man roster. I believe of the three of them, Taylor was actually given the least guaranteed money. I think he only got like 100K. Like,
that was weird. And I thought that was a Will McDonald situation. They had him playing nose tackle at like 300.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'm really interested to see what he can do this summer. But Watts, I mean, I know I just said that they don't have a John Franklin Myers replacement on the roster. Look, man, Eric Watts, I don't know if he can fill that role year one, but give him a couple years. I can see him getting to that point, like where he is like a genuine contributor playing 30, 40, maybe even 50% of snaps on that defensive line. I think he can do it. I think there's definitely some untapped potential there. And I'm very, very happy to see that the early reports have been promising with him.
He seems to me like he's going to be the Tanzel Smart up and down off the practice squad kind of guy.
Well, look, the difference is Tanzel Smart, you know, love you Tanzel, but Tanzel Smart's like 29 years old. Eric Watts is a rookie.
Well, so, functionally.
Sure.
I also love the idea of all the rookies trying to like go after Tyron Smith and I remember I was reading a book or watching a doc or something about the Bengals when they made the Super Bowl and they had Stanley Wilson, who was a big run. Stanley Wilson was a crazy person who got arrested a bunch of times. It's a sad story what happened with Stanley Wilson, a lot of drug issues, but he was like a big running back. He was like 230 or something like that. So everybody would try and like hit him really hard to like make the team, and guys would hit him and they just bounce off of him. He'd always go, "Ain't gonna make the team on me, young puck."
Which
that's a great line. That's always what I think of every time I see a rookie, like, "I'm gonna go and hit the biggest guy here and show I'm tough," and then Tyron Smith just steamrolls him.
I'm excited to see Hassan Reddick versus Tyron Smith. Hassan Reddick is not at OTAs, undisclosed reasons, whatever. It's voluntary, not a big deal. But I'm excited to see that once like training camp comes around, Hassan Reddick versus Tyron Smith. Because that, I mean, I guess we could literally just turn on the tape last year and watch when the Eagles played the Cowboys. I'm pretty sure Tyron Smith played at least one of those games. So you could probably watch it then. But
so let's move on to our last, I think our last kind of OTAs note that I thought was really.
Sure.
No, rather, our last two.
They sure.
Two more things. So they're both on the offensive side. The Braylon Allen RB2 train seems to be full steam ahead because he looked like the most impressive there. He was showing pass catching upside, which is the big thing for him, because purely as a runner, just get the ball, go that way.
Yep.
I mean, he was as good as any back in this class. Like, he was up there with Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson and some of those guys. I know it's a weak class, but still. And he was that good. Now the problem then became, well, what else can he do? Good pass protector, but are they going to get any receiving upside out of him? Because he's not going to be like a Derrick Henry guy where you could just ignore their lack of receiving upside because he's just that singularly dominant in that one area. I think he has to pick up some sort of receiving angle, and he did it. And then you pair that with 240 pounds, and he's young, and he's big, and he's fast, and he's got a good amount of wiggle for a guy his size. Like, if anything, he has too much wiggle. I want to see him run with a little bit more power if that's somehow possible. A lot of good things you heard about Braylon Allen right now. And if this continues, he might end up – that's one of my predictions I think will be true. I think he'll play more than Olufoshanu will during their respective rookie seasons.
Yeah. I don't think that that's a terrible take at all. It was Zach Rosenblatt, The Athletic, was – because, you know, obviously we weren't there at OTAs today, but he was saying that – Braylon Allen impressed him a lot as a pass catcher, made a couple of nice catches, looked shifty in the open field. He then called Braylon Allen the early favorite for RB2, which that seems to be the consensus. You know, it seems like, and I don't have confirmation on this, but from the reports I'm seeing, sounds like he's working as RB2 ahead of both Isaiah Davis and Izzy Abanikanda, which, and I guess Tariq Cohen now as well, which is saying a lot considering that, you know, Izzy is the holdover. You would think he'd be working as RB2. But it sure sounds like Braylon Allen got the most reps today, because Breece Hall was also not at OTAs. So Braylon Allen was working with the first team offense. Those are invaluable reps. I mean, working alongside a guy who, as Quinnen Williams, if anybody saw that Quinnen Williams clip, I think it went live like right before we started the show, where Quinnen Williams realized that Aaron Rodgers had been playing in the NFL for 20 years, and then also realized that that was the same age as Braylon Allen. So Braylon Allen is literally lining up in the backfield alongside a guy who has been playing in the NFL as long as Braylon Allen has been alive. Which is just
I remember when Adam Vinatieri was kicking. He's literally saying, I've been doing this since before you were born. Like, literally.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, that's got to be such a weird feeling. But yeah, I mean, you combine his youth with the obvious upside there, and you want to see that pass catching come around. And I think I mentioned this after the Jets had drafted Braylon Allen. Like, I watched some of his tape in college, and like, he can catch. Like, I didn't use him a ton in that area, but he was catching. Like, he's got soft hands. I don't think he dropped the ball very much.
The problem with him was they went from. Like his old Paul Christ was 1975 football. So yes. He just didn't use the backs a lot. They didn't throw the ball a lot because it was painfully old school.
Yeah, they changed.
And then they went to like a Phil Longo air raid. It just wasn't good for him. But they also didn't really use him a lot.
Yep.
So it was weird because you thought he was going to take off as a pass catcher, and then he just didn't because Phil Longo sucks.
He had one drop in his college career. He had one drop, or at least one drop in his senior season. 30 targets. That's pretty good.
That's not too bad. Is it?
One drop of 30 targets, pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
And one last note on OTAs that I at least thought was interesting about how Mike Williams, they still said, not healthy right now, but they think he's going to be on track, which I guess is a good sign. And
it's
be a little less ambivalent of it if we didn't just hear about how much Alan Lazard sucks the entire time, that he would probably – you'd probably be at wide receiver two if the season started right now because Williams is hurt, and then you put Corley at three. So that's not ideal.
I do wonder how much of the hype that we're hearing about Jason Brownlee, because there's a lot of reports coming out of Jets camp over the last couple of weeks. Like, oh, Jets have been very impressed by Jason Brownlee. I wonder how much of that is like, hey, let's hope that Jason Brownlee can be Alan Lazard because Alan Lazard's not Alan Lazard. Because we're going to need a backup X receiver if Mike Williams isn't healthy. I'm not concerned about him being ready for week one at this point. By all accounts, he should be ready for week one. That does not seem to be in question. Obviously, a lot could change. It's still only May, but right now it does sound like he'll be ready. It sounds like he's on a similar trajectory to Breece Hall last year, which Breece Hall didn't come back until I think August was when he was activated off the PUP. I don't believe he played in a preseason game, but he came back for the last couple weeks of training camp. I think it's going to be a similar situation with Mike Williams. And if that happens, that's fine. Obviously, again, you got to be concerned about his injury history, not just with the ACL, but with he has a history of back issues and stuff. So I don't know if he's going to play all 17 games. It would be nice if you had a capable backup X receiver. That's what Alan Lazard is supposed to be. But if he's not, maybe a guy like Jason Brownlee can take that spot, or whoever else. I mean, it's not going to be Malachi Corley. It's not going to be Xavier Gibson. So maybe Jason Brownlee, maybe one of the other young UDFAs on the roster. I don't know who else that'd be, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
We will see. But what we'll see first is our Jets roster draft.
Yes.
Sound the sirens, because it is back from last year where I said Alan Lazard was going to be – he was in my top five, and, man, that didn't turn out well.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I was so bullish on him. Then again, to be fair, no Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, did we said no Aaron Rodgers when we did that draft?
No, because we didn't have Aaron Rodgers. It made him impossible to fulfill his billing as a top five.
That feels – sure, yeah. If Aaron Rodgers was there, yeah, I'm sure he would have been a top five.
It would have helped. It would have been better.
Lazard, needless to say, is going to be nowhere near our lists, I assume, this year.
So I think we're probably going to do our top five players each. Snake draft format, I think, is the best way to do this.
I agree. We'll do five and then see if we have some time, we could do some more.
I have a quarter right here.
Oh, we're going to do a live coin flip on the show.
Heads, and then this is a Rhode Island quarter. So Rhode Island is tails.
Cool. Tails never fails. I'm calling tails.
It is tails. Justin goes first.
Actually, because I was almost like, I hope you get the first pick. Because how are we doing this, right? Let's set ground rules. Are we taking into account like position value?
We are taking into account position value.
So like if we're saying if we're drafting a team right now, like who are we taking? That's what that's like. All right. Well then. Man,
that has made things very hard for you.
Screw it. Screw it. I'm not taking Aaron Rodgers. Give me Sauce Gardner as my number one pick. I was debating between the two. Give me Sauce Gardner. This isn't the time to be. We're trying to be bullish about these Jets players. We're trying to be optimistic here. I don't know what 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers coming off a torn Achilles is going to look like. I know I'm getting the best cornerback in the NFL. You know, obviously there's no, I'm not going to draft the quarterback here. I'm not like drafting Tyrod Taylor. So I'm just not going to draft the quarterback, whatever. That's fine. Give me Sauce Gardner. He's the best cornerback in the NFL. I think he is the best player on the Jets roster. That's who I want. I'm just going to say, screw it. And I just, you can have Rodgers. You can take him.
Do I want to take Rodgers?
Okay. Maybe he's going to fall. If he falls to me at four, I'll be okay with that.
40-year-old off an ACL. You know what? I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
Take him.
I'm taking Aaron Rodgers because if he goes down, the Jets are screwed again and everybody's fired. If he's good, the Jets are probably going to break the playoff curse. If he's bad, I don't even know what's going to happen. That's going to be some bloodletting.
Yeah.
I just want to see Aaron Rodgers because as long as he plays at all, it's a win.
Yep.
Last year he didn't do anything, so I'll take that. Looking at this roster now, because now we got some good offensive linemen. Dude, finally.
This is a really hard – like as I made a big board for this. So I'm going to stick to my board, right? I had Sauce Gardner above Aaron Rodgers. I'm sticking to that.
Well, you're Terry Fontenot over here with Penix, dude,
I see. All right. And then this Sauce Gardner pick first overall is not the same thing as Michael Penix going at eight. Come on now. But I realize like, and this is a silly realization to have now. Like this Jets roster is stacked, man. Like it is.
I've seen some people, and Justin, you've seen some people too. I think we saw the same post. Saying,
we did, yes.
How could the Jets be ranked this high? I'm like, how are they? I'm not saying they're going to like win the Super Bowl, but I mean, right. 1-53, that's a good roster with few holes.
I got down to like 13 or 14 or 15, and I'm still like, these dudes are like great starters. Like these are like really good players that would be pushing top seven on a lot of other teams, and they're like 15 on the Jets. It's kind of wild.
So for my second pick, because I already got my offensive guy.
I appreciate you doing this draft like ticker at the bottom.
Exactly. That's what I'm
smart.
Doing.
That's smart.
I should probably do something on the defensive side.
Okay.
Ooh, so if okay. I'm doing that, I'm going to go with Quinnen Williams.
That's fair.
Because so much of this defense, what makes it so good is the front four being able to get so much pressure without Robert Saleh blitzing too much.
Yep.
And we saw what happened his first year when he did not have a great defensive line outside of Quinnen Williams. And it was pretty brutal. Pretty brutal. Quinnen has now become an all-pro player. He's one of the best defensive tackles in the league. I don't think you could say he's anything less than number like four or five. Aaron Donald retired, so that bumped him up a notch.
I'd say top three. I'd say it's him, Dexter Lawrence, and Chris Jones are the best three in the league. That's
yeah. Justin Madubuike in Baltimore had a great year, but that was only one year. So it's gonna have to be Quinnen Williams because you know he's gonna get home. He may not get all the sacks, but you know he's gonna get home and cause some havoc in that backfield. So give me Quinnen Williams. I've got my quarterback. I've got my defensive tackle. I'm feeling pretty good about this.
That's good. You should. No, Quinnen's a great pick there. I would have drafted him if you didn't draft him, but he was not number three on my list. He was not number three. My number three player on my draft board is future Hall of Fame left tackle, Tyron Smith.
It's not who I thought you were going to pick. Okay. Ooh,
okay. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see who my second pick is. But Tyron Smith is still one of the best left tackles in the NFL. I'm gonna ignore health for this draft, right? I'm just gonna be like, if this guy is at their absolute best, right? This is how good they are. And Tyron Smith, I know for a fact, is still one of the best left tackles in the NFL. Difference with Aaron Rodgers is even if Rodgers is healthy this year, I just don't know what he is at this stage. Like, maybe he is a top five quarterback. I have no idea. Maybe he's the 12th best quarterback, maybe he's the 15th. I have no idea. Tyron Smith, I know for a fact, is one of the best left tackles in the NFL because he was last year and he was the year before that. And every year he's played, anytime he is on the field, he is one of the best left tackles in the NFL. Give me that 10 times out of 10. I love Quinnen I would have loved to have grabbed both of them, but I would have prioritized Tyron Smith over Quinnen Williams. That's how good Tyron Smith is. I feel like even though he's here, like Jets fans still, I don't want to say they're underrating him, but I don't think people realize just how good he still is. Like he is
I need to bring this up again too when talking about Tyron. Like before they signed him, we were throwing around all kinds of ideas: trade for this guy, sign this guy, draft a guy like Olu Fashanu, and then Fashanu, I believe, and have him play right away. And we didn't even entertain Tyron Smith. We thought he was going back to the Cowboys. We thought, like, oh, it would be great if they got Tyrus, but it's not going to happen.
Or going somewhere else. I thought he was out of their price range. That was the big thing. Like, they got him. His contract is worth $6.5 million. His cap hit this year is under $3 million
for Tyron Smith.
And I think that's why people, like, fans are not talking about as much, because it's like, oh, like, he signed for $6.5 million. He can't be as good as he once was. Like, I'm not even talking about Jets fans, like, just around the league, but. Like, that was because of injuries. Like, that's why they got him for what they did. They got him for what they did for injuries, right? That's why he was available for so cheap. Me here, I'm just going to ignore injuries. I'm going to turn off injuries. I'm turning off that setting. And if Tyron Smith is on the field, he's one of the best players in the Jets roster, one of the best players in the NFL at any position still. Give me Tyron Smith. With my third pick, so I have Sauce Gardner. I have my you know, the best corner in the NFL. I would say arguably the best.
You didn't pick Tariq Woolen. What are you talking about?
I didn't pick Deontay Banks or whoever, whatever Giants fans will be saying that shit or whatever. I don't even.
Pat Surtain. No way. Someone really argued that.
There are people that, well, if you ask Steelers fans, it's Joey Porter. Or if you ask Joey Porter, it's Joey Porter.
You know what? Good for Joey Porter. Cause if my cornerback didn't think like that, that's a problem. You have to be.
Have to be maniacs. But I have the actual best cornerback in the NFL, and that's Sauce Gardner. I have maybe the best left tackle in the NFL when healthy, and Tyron Smith. The next pick is tough because there's like three guys here, three or four guys where I'm like, I don't think this would be a reach at all taking him here. And I'm going to stick with offense. I got my Sauce Gardner. I'm going to stick with offense, and it's really between two players. I'm going to go with the guy I ranked higher on my draft board. And that is a player who I believe is the second best running back in the NFL. And that's Breece Hall.
Ooh. This was tough.
Position value is tough. Like, I'm like, man, you know, Garrett Wilson's right there. Garrett Wilson's awesome. Breece Hall is better at what he does than Garrett Wilson is at what he does. And that's my rationale. That is why I'm making this decision. I think that Breece Hall, again, I said it, I think he's the second best running back in the NFL. And if Christian McCaffrey ever hits a wall, which you think he will eventually, Breece Hall might be the best running back in the NFL. This is a guy who ranked fourth in scrimmage yards last year, despite the fact that he was on, one, a snap count to start the year, and two, played behind one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL that was riddled by injuries. We had Nathaniel Hackett as his play caller, and a combination of Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian as his quarterback. And this man ranked fourth in scrimmage yards coming off a torn ACL. Like, we don't talk enough about how insane Breece Hall's 2023 season was. Give me Breece Hall. At my, you know, my third pick, what is it, the fifth pick in this draft? If this is most other rosters, he's a top three pick, easy. It's amazing that he's available here at five for me. Give me Breece Hall. So we got Sauce Gardner, Tyron Smith, Breece Hall.
You surprised me, because, I mean, look, I love Hall. I know he had that weird malaise in the middle of the year, but other than that, he was phenomenal.
He's incredible.
I mean, the end of the year, he was on pace for over 2,000 yards. If he extrapolate that out to a whole 17-game schedule. I mean, that's elite production. And he's fast and he's big and he's got a little, like, everything you want trait-wise in a modern back, he's got it. Mm-hmm. And I believe he was not the first running back taken that year. I believe Kenneth Walker went above him, right?
Kenneth Walker, did Kenneth Walker go? I should know if Kenneth Walker went in the first. No, I don't think so. Did he?
I'm trying. Was he the first running back?
I think he was the first, because Kenneth Walker was 41. Breece Hall was before that. He was 36.
Okay, I was about to say that he was not
day one. Running. Breece was the first.
Okay, so in that case, then we could wipe out that other point, because the Jets recognized what they had in Breece Hall, which is one of the most unique talents in the game. I'm still pissed he didn't get 1,000 yards because of clerical errors.
Yeah.
Misinformation. He's at 994 forever. It was like Dave Hampton. You ever hear that story?
No.
Dave Hampton played for the Falcons. And this is back when 1,000 yards was like, it meant a lot, because it was, you know, shorter season and running backs and all that. And this is when the Falcons were terrible starting out early. And the guy gets 1,000 yards and then he loses the next play and he never gets it back. So he ends up at 997. That.
Yes, I had, and there was like a celebration when he got 1,000. Like, a pretty, like, didn't they like celebrate or whatever? And then I do.
And
I
then he walked it, and he never. Yeah. Nope. The funny part though is the next year, he was 997. So he had 995 and 997 back to back.
Brutal.
But off right, that, we're back onto the Jets draft.
Yeah,
I love these little stories. Come on,
yeah, it's fun. And, yeah, I appreciate your notes.
I feel like my pick's gonna be pretty obvious here, because you took the guy I thought you were gonna take. I will now take him. Give me Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, of course.
That's fair. Just read chapter and verse about Breece Hall's success with Nathaniel Hackett and the offensive line and the quarterbacks. Garrett Wilson, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Find me a worse quarterback situation in the league than the Jets have had the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Find me a worse one. Find me a worse one any team's had outside of maybe one or two across the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
I don't think it's a stretch to say the Jets were in there. It was that level of bad.
That's fair.
1,000 yards twice. Can you imagine? Forget if he had Aaron Rodgers. Who's the 17th best quarterback? Like Baker Mayfield? Imagine if he had Baker Mayfield.
Oh, yeah. He'd be great. He'd be yeah, 1,500 yards.
AFC lead in receiving yards. That's how good this guy is. And he's getting better.
Yeah.
Because he's still fast. He's still got his hands. This is, I could not believe. I've been thrilled with how he's performed. I didn't even expect him to be this good right out of the gate. Especially because he's a Jets receiver. They never go right out of the gate like this.
Yeah.
He's the trend breaker.
That he is.
No, so he gets my pick here. For my next pick, I think I'm going to go defense again.
Okay. Defense, and I think the obvious is defense here. I don't think there's a single offensive player I would consider with this pick.
There were four players.
Yes.
That I've really considered.
Yep. That I am the same.
I might get that coin out again and flip it like I'm Harvey Dent because I don't know which to pick. I think, though, for team bonding and chemistry,
I think it'd be really good if
I got Quinnen's brother and I went with Quincy Williams.
That's fair.
Who was terrible to start his Jets career and has evolved into a Pro Bowl all-pro linebacker. A guy who I'm taking it too because linebackers are in such short supply across the league.
Yeah.
CJ Mosley is getting old. He's still good, CJ Mosley, but he's clearly getting older. He's not the CJ Mosley that he was. A lot of his awards, I think, are name, brand, and reputation.
Maybe. I'll throw it out. I thought CJ Mosley last year was the best year that CJ Mosley has been with the Jets.
Oh, yeah. He's certainly great. But yeah. I mean, I thought Quincy Williams was better, I thought.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that.
And they have a succession plan now. Because Quincy can lead the linebackers and Quinnen leads the defense.
Yeah.
For a guy who was a cast-off, I mean, Jacksonville caught him as soon as they could, and he was a third-round pick. He's fast. He's smart. He hits hard. If Robert Saleh could create a linebacker,
yeah.
Boop, 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 make a linebacker, that's him.
Yep.
And allegedly, too, Saleh wanted to draft him so badly in San Francisco, and then John Lynch said, we already got you a defensive player. Nick Bosa, I think, was that year. Sorry, the year after that was Nick Bosa. Said, we can't keep taking all your defensive guys. You got to find somebody else. And then, oddly enough, he took Dre Greenlaw, who was another great pick because Robert Saleh knows his linebackers.
Yep.
But I'm taking Quincy Williams here.
That's a great pick. Like I had about – I think I also would have had a toss-up between him and the other guy that you probably would have coin-flipped. Like you said, Quincy Williams was tailor-made to be a Robert Saleh linebacker. If you built a Robert Saleh linebacker from scratch, it would look like Quincy Williams. It would have the same attitude as Quincy Williams. It would be Quincy Williams. That's a great pick, and I cannot fault you at all for the Quinnen and Quincy chemistry there. That's very good, very good. I'm going to go two defensive players here because I think the next five players on my list that I have my big board here are all defensive players. I think there's a decent sized gap to the next offensive player that I would want to take. And so with that, I think this pick is fairly obvious. I think this is the guy that you would have taken if you didn't take Quincy Williams. Give me one of the better pass rushers in the NFL. Give me Hassan Reddick. Give me a guy who was defensive player of the year 2 years ago.
That's actually not who I would have taken, but I respect it.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the next one might also be the guy you were taking. But yeah, Hassan Reddick is the best pass rusher now on the Jets. He is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. And, you know, as much as I've been down on the departure of Bryce Huff and not so happy about John Franklin Myers leaving, Hassan Reddick has a chance to make up for all of that because he's going to play three downs. He's probably going to get 10 to 15 sacks I don't know about that. But if he can live up to what he did in Philly, maybe he might just not play enough downs with the Jets to do that. But he's going to be one of the most productive pass rushers on the team and in the NFL again. Give me a stud pass rusher. Give me Hassan Reddick. I do take him over Jermaine Johnson. I don't know if that's the guy you would have taken.
Nope.
It's not? Okay. All right. Then we'll see. We'll see. Because maybe I'm about to take the next guy. This is actually really interesting now because do I double down on one position or do I take a different position? That's the question. Do I just say
– be or not to be?
I'm going to say just screw it because I'm just drafting based on my board. I'm going to go BPA. And I'm going to say, give me the best players here. And I want a guy who on most teams in the NFL would probably be cornerback one. Give me DJ Reed. That's who I'm taking. I don't even know if that's who you're taking. I might even have him higher on my board than you would. But I'm going DJ Reed. I think he is still one of the most underrated players in the Jets roster. Again, on a lot of teams, he is a number one cornerback. He's just have Sauce Gardner. That's why he's there. So guess what? I'm bringing him to my team. He's going to remain the second quarterback on the team because I got Sauce Gardner there. If you have the best cornerback duo in the NFL, why change a thing? Give me Sauce Gardner. Give me DJ Reed.
This is tough for me.
Is that who you would have taken or no?
No, because it's tough because I'm going to leave Jermaine Johnson off and I'm not going to take Jermaine Johnson.
Wow.
Think about how that means there's a good chance you could argue that among the 10 best players, a second year Pro Bowl edge rusher is not among them. That's how this roster is.
We still got a little more time. You want to do like seven players each or something like that? That could be kind of fun.
For my fifth pick.
All right. I made a big board. That's why I got up to like 20 players.
You know what? Turn that into a Jet Press article.
I guess.
That's how you can get your frustration out.
Sure. Sure. Or I'll just read it off at the end. I might do that.
Okay. But I'm going to go with a guy who I think is maybe the best in his role or among the best in his role.
Okay. I know you're league. Okay. Yep.
I'm going to take maybe the best slot corner in the league.
Wow.
Michael Carter, the second. That's good funny. Michael Carter. Some people might come because the other one was bad. So.
All right. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Where is he now? He's like the third string in Arizona. Okay. So yeah. I think that answered my question.
He's in the NFL.
Well, everybody's in the NFL. Is Alan Lazard good too? I mean, what do we want to?
Well, one of them is making $44
million. What are we getting? What is this? Teletubbies here? We got to be a little critical.
Fair. Well, that's three cornerbacks in the top 10 players is nuts.
Which I don't know if there's any team where you could say anything close to that.
No, absolutely not.
There are good cornerback tandems. Trios like this. Once in a blue moon, they come around.
Yep.
And who knows how much he's a fifth-round pick, people forget. Fifth-round pick.
He was like a safety corner. He was like the Jarque Bernard converse of that draft class.
I think they picked him as a safety, if I'm not
wrong. Yeah, he was a safety corner hybrid. He was the Jarque Bernard converse of that draft, but that was during a time where the Jets had literally nothing in their secondary. And I remember they went into that summer. It was like, we're going to have like four guys compete for slot corner job. Let's see who wins it. Like that was their plan.
And the thing about Carter is I almost feel bad putting him here. And I almost, as Jets fans, do not want to promote him too much because I feel like then the secret will get out.
Yeah.
And we're going to blow up his spot. And then his value is going to – it was like Bryce Huff.
Where I was about to say, this sounds like
Bryce Huff. They got too high on Bryce Huff, and then they bumped his price up, and then now he's an Eagle. Michael Carr is one of those guys, not a blank check guy, but you got to make it a priority. This guy's got to stay.
Yep.
You can't just draft a guy in the fourth round and replace him. This is not like that. And they certainly aren't going to invest a first-round pick in a quarterback. So you got to find a way to keep this guy because what he does is just so unique for this defense. You got to keep him around.
I don't want to say I'm confident, but I'm fairly confident that he's going to stick around. Like I'm fairly confident they're going to keep Michael Carter. I'm less confident they're going to keep DJ Reed. That's my bigger concern is that going into next year, DJ Reed will not be on the roster. I think there's a very decent chance, which we'll talk about probably more as the year goes on. I think there's a very decent chance that DJ Reed, they just let walk in free agency and they hope that they can replace him with guys like Quantez Stiggers. Maybe he could step up. Or I think maybe Jarque Bernard Converse could get moved back to corner now that Isaiah Oliver's at safety. Maybe they hope one of the young guys steps up. Maybe they draft somebody else. I think there's a real possibility they'll let DJ Reed go, but I think Michael Carter's contract should be fairly reasonable. For whatever reason, slot corners are just still not valued, and they're not paid a lot. So there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to keep Michael Carter at a really good rate, and he's a very, very important player and a crucial part of that defense. I'm sad because if we did go to like seven players, I was going to be like, man, maybe I could get Michael Carter and just get all three corners for my team, but no, that's all right. So we'll read it off. My team, I got Sauce Gardner, Tyron Smith, Breece Hall, Hassan Reddick, DJ Reed.
And my team, I've got Aaron Rodgers, Quincy Williams, Garrett Wilson, and Michael Carter II.
Yep. Tell us who won. Hey, in chat, tell us who won. If you're watching this live, if you're watching later, I forget what the consensus was with the last draft, although I will say.
Email your answers to Mike's team is best at gmail.com.
All right, buddy. You drafted Alan Lazard last year, okay? Let's relax. You drafted
new day, man.
For as much shit as I got about my Carl Lawson take, I didn't put him as a top five player on my team. Like, it was not. I'm not
Justin, you know what the thing about the old days are?
They're the old days. Yeah.
In the old days.
They're the old days. All right. All right. Real quick, because I did put together this list. I'm going to read this off to you, and I want you to object to any objections you have. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll finish doing that. So here is the remainder of my draft board. The highest player that went undrafted is Jermaine Johnson. I had him as my number 10 player. I did have him ahead of Michael Carter II. Jermaine Johnson's great. I think that's pretty consensus here that Jermaine Johnson is the best player to went undrafted in this draft. I did have, and maybe I would consider changing this, but I think I would change this now. But I had CJ Mosley one spot ahead of Michael Carter II. I think CJ Mosley is still really good. He had a great year last year, and he got overshadowed a lot by Quincy Williams.
But you had Mike Williams.
He was my next guy. So okay. Jermaine Johnson, CJ Mosley, then Michael Carter II is the 12th best player. 13th best player on my board, which was the next offensive player, was Mike Williams. Then after Mike, and again, I've been kind of ignoring healthier. So like I don't know what he's going to look like post-torn ACL, but I'm more confident that he's going to return to form than I am Aaron Rodgers. I'm just major question marks with Rodgers. Next after that, Elijah Vera Tucker. I think he's a very good player. I think
I still got concerns about him, though. I mean,
do I want to say I think Elijah Vera Tucker has been a little overrated by Jets fans? A little overrated.
He's good. He's not
I think he's an above average starter with Pro Bowl potential. That's where I would classify him right now. I think he's an above average starting lineman whose value is amplified by the fact that he's been so versatile and he's been able to just move all around, which is possibly hurt his development, but I think it also helps his value.
Maybe he'll play more than five games this year, though. That'll be
The hope is that he's playing more. I'm strictly talking talent. Like I'm strictly talking like how good is this player? I think he's a very good player, but I don't think he's like – I think a lot of Jets fans talk about him as like he's a star when he plays. I don't think he's a star. I think he's a very good starter. I have not seen star level.
That's how bad the Jets offense has been. They get a guy who's like above average and then, he's a star.
They have a legitimate star offensive lineman now, and that's Tyron Smith. After him, one of the guys who I think is one of the most underrated players in the roster, maybe this will be high for you, but Tyler Conklin, 15th best player on my list. I think he's really good. I think he's a very good tight end who is going to show people how good he is this year with Aaron Rodgers as quarterback. Even last year, like, if you look at the underlying metrics and stuff like that in terms of contested catch rate, like I think he had either zero or one drop the entire year. He was like second or third in contested catch rate amongst all tight ends. Like, dude's good. Dude is a very good tight end.
Spicy take.
Oh.
What if the 15th best player is a guy they took number 11 overall?
Okay. So I did have Olufoshanu on like my list, but he was 22 for me. That was my last player that I ranked. Granted, I also put like Greg Zuerlein and Thomas Morstead above him. Again, position value comes into play where it's like, all right, clearly a punter is not more valuable than a left tackle, but I'm just going, I don't know. There was not a scientific method to this draft board per se. But maybe he is. I didn't want to like take any rookie just because I'm like, I don't know how these guys are going to play, but possibly it's quite possible. I don't think we'll see this year, but maybe. 16th, I did have another offensive tackle, Morgan Moses. I think it's still a very good player. I think Morgan Moses is still a rock solid starting caliber tackle. And if he's your third best lineman, you're in good shape. Like that's good. Back to back offensive lineman. Cause I had Joe Tippmann at 17, some projection here because I think last year he was an average starting center. I think he was an average starting center. I'm projecting him to be a little bit better than an average starting center next year. So I think Joe Tippmann at 17 is fair. Finally, going back to defense here with 18, Chuck Clark, another guy who I think is a damn good starter when he's healthy. I think he's an average to maybe even slightly above average starter when he's been healthy in his career. And I'm just hoping that he can recover from the torn ACL and play like he did before his injury. Then I had the specialists back-to-back, Greg Zuerlein, Thomas Morstead. Olufoshanu is 22. And at 21, I'll throw you a bone, Mike. Will McDonald. I'll throw you a bone. I don't know what Fischano's gonna be. I have no idea. I know what he's gonna be.
He's just not gonna play. That's the problem. No one said he was bad. He just, when's he gonna play? Right.
I mean, we don't know what he's gonna be. We don't know that Olufoshanu's gonna be a good tackle. I'm just basing this off of what I saw from Will McDonald last year. I thought he played at a pretty efficient rate for a guy who didn't play a ton, like moderate efficiency. And I'm projecting that if he's getting an increase in snaps, that the efficiency will remain the same. And I think that equates to around the 21st, 22nd best player on the team. I think there's definitely like a drop off after like 14, 15. Then you get into like, okay, some solid starters, then more like, all right, kind of getting closer to like backup territory. But that's to be expected, you know, when you're looking at any NFL roster. Once you get into the 20s, it's more like, you know, these guys aren't really, you're that, I mean, there's only 22
starters. Yeah, there is for every team. So.
There's only 22 starters.
That's how it is. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, do you have any gripes? Do you have any gripes with that list really quick?
Not particularly. I mean, am I really going to gripe over the 19th or should be 15th? I mean,
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Do you want to spend your limited time on earth doing that? I don't. So
this is a good question. We got Josh asking, who's the worst player? Who is the worst player of the 91 players currently on the Jets roster?
Well, I don't want to be mean now. I mean,
the easy answer that everyone's going to be like, Alan Lazard or whatever. But realistically, it's probably one of the UDFAs that they signed who's going to get cut in a week. Like that's
really just being a hater.
That's awesome.
Tune again to this episode of the Jet Press. You can find us on all the platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Overcast. We're always there. And we're on YouTube. That's where you can like the stream. That's where you can subscribe. You can also leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That all helps support the show. Justin, any final thoughts before we call our curtains?
I think that I definitely drafted the better team.
You're 100% full of crap on that one, but okay.
we got to leave it up to chat. Let's see what others say. But again, I will remember. I will ask people to remember. I will ask the jury to remember that my opponent over here, the defendant, drafted Alan Lazard.
What about the defendant?
I don't know because
are you suing me? Okay,
this is how the show ends. I'm talking to the jury and I'm saying that you're the defendant and you drafted Alan Lazard last year, and I think that everyone should remember that, dude. I swear, once it hits 4 o'clock, we go off the rails. This happens every time. But anyway, thank you all for joining us on the show today. You can follow Mike on Twitter at @ByMikeLuciano. Follow me on Twitter at Justin T. Freed. Follow the Jet Press at the Jet Press. Download the Jet Press podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on YouTube and TikTok. Subscribe, like, hit that notification bell. You guys know what to do. We stream live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Last little plug, make sure to check out all those little Guess the Jet shorts that we have popping up on YouTube. There's a bunch of those. We did some like Guess the Jets player by the Pro Football Reference page, which has been pretty fun. Some blind rankings. We probably got some more coming in the future, so definitely check those out. Thank you all for listening to Jet Press Podcast. I've been Justin Freed. That has been Mike Luciano. We'll see you guys next time.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.